Harper Audio presents Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain, performed by Oliver Wyman. Chapter 1. The Thing Begins. The men of Bravo are not cold. It's a chilly and wind-whipped Thanksgiving day with sleet and freezing rain forecast for late afternoon, but Bravo is nicely blazed on Jack and Cokes, thanks to the epic crawl of game day traffic and the limo's minibar. 5 drinks in 40 minutes is probably pushing it, but Billy needs some refreshment after the hotel lobby, where over-caffeinated tag teams of grateful citizens trampolined right down the middle of his hangover. There was one man in particular who attached himself to Billy, a pale, spongy twinkie of a human being, crammed into starched blue jeans and fancy cowboy boots.
"Was never in the military myself," the man confided, swaying, gesturing with his giant Starbucks. "But my granddaddy was at Pearl. He told me all the stories."
And the man embarked on a rambling speech about war and God and country as Billy let go, let the words whirl and tumble around his brain.
"Terrorist, freedom, evil, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, troops, courage, support, sacrifice, Bush, values, God."
Thanks to asswipe luck, Billy will have the aisle seat at Texas Stadium, which means he will bear the brunt of these encounters for most of the afternoon. His neck hurts. He slept but poorly last night. Each of those 5 Jack and Cokes puts him deeper in the hole, but the sight of the stretch limo pulling up to the hotel aroused a bundle of nervous cravings in him. This boat of a snow-white Hummer with 6 doors to a side and black-tinted windows for maximum privacy.
"What I'm talking about!"
cried Sergeant Dime as he pounced on the bar, everyone whooping over all the pimp finery. But after destroying all hopes for a quick recovery, Billy subsides into a gnarled secret funk.
"Billy," says Dime, "you're flaking on me."
"No, Sergeant," Billy says at once. "I'm just thinking about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders."
"Good man."
Dime raises his glass, then conversationally remarks to no one in particular,
"Major Mack is gay."
Holiday yelps.
"Damn, Dime, the man's sitting right here."
And indeed, Major McLaurin is seated on the rear banquette, watching Dime with all the emotion of a flounder on ice.
"He can't hear a damn word I say."
Dime laughs. He turns to Major Mack and slows down his rate of speech to moron speed.
"Major McLaurin, sir, Sergeant Holiday here says you're gay."
"Oh, fuck,"
Holiday moans, but the Major's eyes merely take on a needling glint. Then he holds out his fist to show his wedding band. Everyone howls. There are 10 of them in the limo's plush passenger bay, the 8 remaining soldiers of Bravo Squad, their PA escort, Major Mack, and the movie producer, Albert Ratner, who at the moment is hunkered down in blackberry position. Counting poor dead Shroom and the grievously wounded Lake, there are 2 silver stars and 8 bronze among them, all 10 of which defy coherent explanation.
"What were you thinking during the battle?"
the pretty TV reporter in Tulsa asked. And Billy tried. God knows he tried. He never stops trying. But it keeps slipping and sliding, corkscrewing away. The thing of it. The it. The ineffable whatever.
"I'm not sure," he answered. "Mainly it was just this sort of road rage feeling. Everything was blowing up and they were shooting our guys and I just went for it. I really wasn't thinking at all."
His chief fear up to the moment the shooting started being that of fucking up. Life in the Army is miserable that way. You fuck up,
They scream at you. You fuck up some more, and they scream some more. But overlying all the small, petty, stupid, basically foreordained fuck-ups looms the ever-present prospect of the life-fucking fuck-up. A fuck-up so profound and all-encompassing as to crush all hope of redemption.